hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape is located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, and they can fix you up with all your John Deere needs. Tractors, mowers, implements, parts service, they do it all up there. Go up and see them. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
There you go.
There you are.
So we're here with our guest, Paul Skinner, who is our resident expert today on the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, on a topic that's been kind of on people's minds ever since the release of Sound of Freedom that was supposed to be a big nothing burger. They stalled that movie for 5 years. Can you imagine? I mean, when you heard about what the movie was about, and then you heard that people were blocking it from being shown, you thought, well, what a bunch of monsters. And then you watch the movie, and it's like, oh, wow, you're not going to outrun that.
No, you're going to get some bad press.
I'm pretty sure you're going to pay for that in the afterlife. I wasn't really worried about the press. I was kind of worried about about fire. Yeah, blocking a story like that. So talk to us about, like, you had mentioned foster care and some things like that. How does that factor into the missing and exploited kids venue?
Well, specifically with foster care, what we're finding is that with social media, a lot of these offenders will be contacting children that are in foster care and asking them to meet initially. Or asking them to run away. And so...
Asking them to run away?
Yes. And that they'll pick them up.
Oh, like, hey, do you want to run away? I'll give you a ride?
Exactly.
What?
Or, hey, would you like to make $1,000 tomorrow night?
Oh, that kind of running away.
And so that's happening to us across the U.S. And that's one of our focuses on Team Adam, is that once we hear these cases, we actually reach out to law enforcement and say, these are some resources we have. Let us give you a hand with that, or let us sit in the back of the room, or let us be at your beck and call. But this is a priority for us. We want to make sure this is stopped as quickly as possible. Because if you have a child that's in foster care and they're victimized over and over and over again, the likelihood of them returning to a normal atmosphere, especially a normal family atmosphere, is very, very rare. And they get lost. Mm. They get lost in the system.
Well,
now I will tell you
that
in Shasta County, Children's Protective Services and Juvenile Probation, very active, very assertive, very aggressive on keeping track of their foster children. And they call us as soon as one of those kids go missing, or even go run away.
Oh, really?
Runaway. They call us immediately, and it's great to have that kind of working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, although my predominant function is to interact with law enforcement, I get after the official calls made, I get the unofficial call from that CPS worker or that probation worker saying, "Hey, Paul, you need to know. So-and-so is on the run again. It looks like her pimp or the guy that we still can't identify is back in the area."
Wow. Mm. And little kids who still are at home, with the advent of all of this, social media and a lot of younger kids having phones and access to stuff that sometimes their parents either don't monitor or don't understand. How much of that is there? There's a program that's out now where it's a group of people who pose as children. They surf the internet and pose. You know the one I mean?
I do.
I can't think of the name of it, but it's wow.
Sting operation.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. They get these 20-somethings who look really young to dress up as a 14-year-old and go online and make a meet-up with somebody, and they snatch these people out of their shoes, which is fantastic. Is that a common thing, or is that just kind of a new wave of policing that's coming?
It's always been common to do sting operations for law enforcement. Whether it was illegal copper sales, That's always been very common for law enforcement. This part is very uncommon, and a lot of agencies are doing that. And again, we are fortunate. We live in a county where law enforcement is very aggressive on this and very active on that.
So I would imagine, like every other police agency, their funding to really be as involved as they'd probably like to be is tough, isn't it?
That's true. When I interview other detectives from other departments, or I'm there for a deployment on a cold case, that's the one common theme I hear all the time is, gee, Paul, I would love to spend more time on this case, but I'm carrying a caseload of 65 violent crimes, and I've got this one missing from 2015 that's still there. But like I said earlier, I am so impressed at these detectives who, some of them were in grade school when the event occurred, but yet they know every intricate part of that investigation.
Oh, interesting. Well, so for hot tip for parents and grandparents, aunts, uncles, you know, people who have kids in their life, what are they looking for? Like what kind of, cause I know,
or be on the lookout.
Like when I was teaching, you know, there were all the attributes of at-risk kids, you know, all these different things. What are things that people should be looking for? I mean, obviously behavior changes, drug use, that kind of thing, but
those are all normal things. I think in the area of exploitation, they should be concerned about acquisition of new things. All of a sudden something is new in the child's life. There's a PlayStation 20, whatever it is, that the parents didn't buy. There's a new jacket, a new coat, a new this, a new that, and the child is spending an abnormal amount of time on social media. They should be concerned about that. Because remember, exploitation is abuse, no doubt about it, but the difference between child abuse and child exploitation is that the child always receives something in exploitation. That may be something that will benefit them psychologically of being praised. It may be a toy. It may be money. It may be this or it may be that. And you can imagine being a 17-year-old girl and being offered $1,000 a night to participate as a prostitute and have not only the opportunity but the means to get to where this is going to take place. That's something that, you know, people will consider, especially if they have never had $1,000.
I would imagine it doesn't start with that either. It's probably just we need you to, like you see.
Well, the whole grooming thing.
Yeah.
The whole grooming thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a better word than grooming, because that's exactly what happens. Yeah. It's incremental.
Because it's a ramp up.
It's a ramp up. It truly is a ramp up. But back to the other issue about the children, we have all these tools now from a technical standpoint that if I were a new parent, I would be considering Apple AirTags, those types of things, so I know where my child is all the time. I was at a conference the other day, and they were actually showing toys and a necklace that had Apple AirTag in it. And I thought, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it always amazes me when I hear people say, oh, you're violating their privacy when you look in their phone and you look in their computer. They didn't buy the phone. They didn't buy the computer. And, I mean, let's be safe. I mean,
it's kind of funny because I inherited stepkids when I was in my 20s, you know, so a lot of the parents were 10 to 15 years older than I was. Mm-hmm. And they were these, you know, at that time, super permissive. I mean, you know, nobody was worried about anything. Man, I'm rifling the backpack. I'm going through everything. And I remember being told, you're violating their privacy. I'm like, so the exact same thing you did. We would have been good parents, Bill. I said the exact same thing. Every single thing in that backpack I own. It's all my stuff, and I'm going to check it. And
well, do you remember growing up?
It's like
afraid of doing certain things because the neighbor would get a hold of you first, and then when you got home, you'd be in trouble too.
Yep. Somebody makes a phone call.
Yeah. Somebody makes a phone call. Exactly.
Yeah. Somebody sees it. Yep. Well, you see a lot of this. Okay, so in the movies and on TV and stuff like that, you see these things portrayed. Mm-hmm. What are they missing? Or is most of it kind of accurate?
That's a really good question. I wish I had a really good answer.
Well, I just was curious because, you know, how a lot of times like they skip the really pivotal steps on how these kids wind up in these places, which is how really nice kids from, I mean, they're all nice kids, but how a kid that you would think, what? How did that take place? I mean, this kid wasn't, you know, living in a compromising situation. They just got off track. Drugs?
I think what they're missing is that it's usually portrayed as a big city phenomenon.
Oh,
and it's
that's
not.
A good point.
It's all across the U.S. and it's other countries, obviously, too. But it's not just a large city phenomenon. It is a human issue. And when you're dealing with the ambiguity of the human experience, you have all types of folks in that category. Yeah. And you and I may not be able to spot a pedophile, but they're out there. And so...
Yeah, my brother was a... parole officer, and he worked sex crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things he told me about pedophiles blew my mind. And the trained eye can pick them up. And it's amazing how many are out there just operating under the radar.
Well, it's like Aaron made the comment earlier about once you see it, you can never unsee it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I can guarantee you that the listeners today are going to drive by every rest stop on Interstate 5.
Yeah, and look at all the cars and look at all the kids.
They're going to be looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what it takes. I mean, it just needs awareness. I mean, we talk about it all the time. When you get out of your car in a parking lot, look around. Make sure there's nobody creeping on you, nobody, you know, doing things they shouldn't be doing to keep yourself safe. And I think we all need to keep an eye out for those types of things, because it's out there. It's out there, I think, a lot more than we think.
Yeah, you don't always know. In your, you know, kids going to school now have access to all sorts of things. How much of this is, in your estimation, connected to drug use, early drug use? And I don't mean like they're shooting heroin. I mean they're eating, you know, gummy bears or whatever, you know, and that whole industry that's moved in. We've legalized all of it. How has that affected this, or can you tell yet?
I don't know. I know that my counterparts at Children's Protective Services tell me that the majority of their clients came from drug experienced families. So when you have that type of upbringing, you're challenged right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So these poor kids, you know, some of them don't have a chance. I mean, they're just
I would imagine the biggest threat is the internet. I mean, when they get online, they're a target. I don't care what social media platform they're on. I would imagine there's people out there cruising for them.
There are,
and making them a victim.
There are. Yeah. And you'd be surprised at the bait that's used. Everything from cartoons to Pokemon figures.
I don't get it. What? Cartoons.
So they'll have cartoons that they'll post and say, if you want a free cartoon every day, come back to my website each day. And that's all part of the grooming process.
Oh, I see. Then it goes to step
we obviously
two,
are
step
terrible
three.
Predators for like cartoons.
I'm glad you're a terrible predator.
Yeah, we have no future as predators. I would never think that, like, who's going to do that? Yeah. Wow, that is, that's creepy. And as a parent, how would you, do you have to pay for it, or is it, I'm assuming it's free, right?
Always free.
Always free. Okay. Always free. So they're not going to need their parents' credit card to do it. This is something they could just click on online. Is it stuff you can, if you know how they have all these, I don't know, because, I mean, my kids were out of the house by the time we really had microwave ovens, so, you know, I'm really old. But if I had a kid in the house who was online, are there parental locks you can put on? You can't really block that.
There are some parental locks you can put on. I would, if I had a small child now, I wouldn't allow my child online unless I was there.
That's what I wondered. Is the easiest way to do it? Just no.
Yeah.
And they always say, well, I can't get a hold of them or whatever. Is that where the, those things in their backpack, you know, the tracker deals and all that. Is that where that all kind of comes in?
It does.
So yeah. they can keep an eyeball on where they are.
I remember it wasn't that long ago where kids were not allowed to have cell phones at school.
Oh, yeah.
And now every kid has a cell phone in school because not only the kids want it for social media purposes, but the parents want it to be able to get a hold of their child and check on their child when it's a problem.
Well, that's helpful.
So yeah. It's hard.
Not so much.
Hard to not.
It's hard to challenge, yes.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, lots of things to consider here. All right. We have to take a really quick break again. Darn it. We'll be right back with our guest, Paul Skinner. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Double wide quick stop, midnight tea top, Jack in her cherry coat town. Mama and daddy put their roots right here, cause this is where the car broke down. Yellow dog school bus, kicking up red bus, picking us up by a barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York to L.A. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning, baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home, American kids. Growing up in little pink houses, man. Someone said they might have seen you where the ocean meets the land, so in the sand. Did you hear the ocean singing? And baby, did you sing along while you danced out in the water to some old forgotten song? Or were you even here at all? Me, I've been looking for you, baby. I've been looking for you, baby.
So, we have a question for you. What's the you ask it, Bill?
What is there a statute of limitations when someone's hiding a child from a parent? That's kind of a tough one there, because
that is a tough one.
Yeah, we don't know.
So if they snag the kid when they're five, move to another place or whatever, and you.
So I also got a caller who asked that question, and I shot it to you, Aaron. So
oh,
we're answering two questions in one right now.
NARS.
Yeah.
So if we're assuming that there is a violation of a court order is a court order. Court order stays and stands.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think is being asked, if it was a violation of a court order or a child was taken by a non-custodial parent.
Yeah, I would imagine there's no statute of limitations
on that. The offense is still occurring.
Right.
And so there'd be nothing like that.
Right.
If there's a question of parental rights or who's the parent versus who isn't the parent, then they'd probably take that in family court to figure out.
Yeah, that's going to be a family court.
To sort it out.
Sure. Yeah.
Wow. How many talk to me about the ones that wind up out of the country like we saw in the movie. I mean, those were kids kidnapped from one country, you know, and trafficked in another country, that sort of thing. But I'm kind of curious, when they wind up taken someplace else or brought here, as we're looking at with this big open border thing, mm-hmm. How many of these kids are being snatched from Central America and being brought here? Because in the movie, it looked like it was a lot.
So I'll answer the question in a couple of different ways.
I didn't really want a number. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
I asked it, and it gave me a number sort of way.
If the person that has the child is a non-custodial parent and they're in violation of court order, and they're a governmental employee or in the military, they get snatched up. The kid gets snatched up and brought back to the U.S. immediately.
Mm.
NCIS and those groups, those military investigative groups, will grab them fast and quick and make it a very quick and done deal. And then they're brought back to answer charges for leaving the country with the child and violating a court order. As far as how many kids do we lose from the U.S. to other countries, I don't know.
Can't know.
Right. Anecdotally, from what I'm hearing from the experts and people that I interact with, we mostly, in our societal realm here, especially in the West Coast, the kids are kept on a local basis. and kept locally and exploited and then unexploited, if that's a good enough term or not, to where they're used for a period of time and then placed back into either a custodial situation or a foster home situation, and then they're reactivated again at a later time.
What?
And it's all based on monetary issues.
Money's
offered, money's accepted, and then something happens and they change and then they try it again. So it's a secondary economy, obviously.
The
whole exploitation of children is a whole, has its own economy attached to it. But again, our goal is to identify those offenders and make sure those offenders are placed in a secure location for a long, long time.
How do they control when people come across the border illegally? They have children. They don't have any documentation. They don't know if they're their kids or somebody else's kids or whatever. I mean, how do you control that? I mean, or even keep track of it?
I don't know that you do.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a situation that there's no win to, really, mm-hmm. unless we start back at the beginning and that's at the border and identifying children at the border.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can you even keep track? I mean, how do they know? They can't know if those people are their aunt or uncle or, I mean, they say that all the time. That, you know, they get like a free pass if they have a kid because they get to apply for asylum and families. So all you need is a child. Now we're a family.
Exactly. And even you have some cultures, will claim parental rights. I ran into a culture recently where, the missing child had five mothers.
What?
But only one birth mother.
Right.
But yet in that culture, these other women were also considered the mother. And so the child was in the custody of mother number four, who didn't want to tell mother number one that she had the child because they were not getting along.
Yeah, is that illegal?
So it gets down to the question of, is that illegal? And the answer is no, it's not illegal.
Yeah.
Is it a violation of family rights and common sense? Yes. But it was a cultural issue.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a mess.
It was.
And so if you have kids if there are children who have come here who are being exploited, do they bring, I mean, I'm thinking you'd have to, it's sort of like if you're going to commit any kind of a crime and have a partner, because they're the partner in crime, unwilling, of course, but how much grooming do they have to do before you put a kid out in public? I mean, you couldn't let the kid go to school or anything. They would tell, right? Or do they not tell?
That's true. Most of these kids are not going to school, either by choice or the groomer has decided they're not going to go to school, period. And we've also changed our schools. There was a time where you could drive down the road and go, how come that kid's not in school?
Yeah, right.
Right.
And now we have all these alternative schedules, alternative schools.
So now it's kind of harder to spot. That's what I was wondering. Yeah,
there's no such thing as a truant officer.
There's no, yes.
My mother used to warn us about the truant officer all the time, and apparently they weren't even there when I was a kid.
I used to hear the same thing, and I was so fearful of the truant officer.
I know, and then it turns out they were gone in like the 1950s or something there.
And I was a senior in high school. I'm looking over my shoulder.
Like every now
very
and then, my mom would like let us go downtown and have lunch with my dad. We could take the bus and go down to his office or whatever, and she's like, now, if anybody asks you, you have a dentist appointment. Like, we had this whole elaborate ruse for the truant officer that we never met because I guess there wasn't one. So if somebody is seeing a child in their neighborhood, for instance, who never seems to have anywhere to go, is that like they're around all hours and or they see them in the yard all the time? They're probably not walking the street, but they're probably they just don't ever see them.
Law enforcement needs to be notified of that. Absolutely.
You call CPS? Now, you call who do you call?
It doesn't matter. Everybody's mandatory reporters.
Oh.
So if you call CPS or law enforcement, they're mandatory reporters. You may not get a call back because information.
They're not going to call and tell you.
Yeah. Information that's gathered falls under the none your business type thing.
Yeah, sure.
But you may not get a call back.
But if they go there and they're like, hey, my kid's homeschooled and all that, then.
Yeah.
Does that make you a bad guy, or is it better to be safe than sorry? That's
better to be safe than sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Especially when it comes to kids, our most precious asset.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think everybody would like to be more proactive, but they don't know how. They look at it and it's like, I don't know anything about that. What are you looking for? Like, what's just the regular person looking at that they don't realize what they're looking at? Like the kid who's out in the yard all hours of the day and night, right? I mean, that's easy.
Yeah, that's
kind of a no-brainer.
That's certainly one. In neighborhoods where you know everybody,
yeah,
all of a sudden one house starts having people show up.
Oh.
Late at night for unexplained reasons, those types of things. CHP is fantastic at spotting these folks as they're moving the exploited children from place to place along
really?
The freeways. They're really good at it. They watch body language as they pass people. They take a look at the difference between the driver and the passenger. And if the driver's some old coot like me and the passenger is a 9-year-old girl, you know, just it takes a second look. Those are usually giveaways. But social media right now is really the investigative platform that law enforcement's using.
Interesting. Are there nonprofits and other outside organizations that feed into that, like that show? Those people are all independent, but they partner with law enforcement. They
yes.
do all the cyber, they do all the legwork.
Yeah, we partner with the Charlie Project and with the Poly Class Foundation on a lot of stuff, and we'll share information back and forth.
And what do those guys do? Are they research people?
Basically the same thing we do, except their focus is on the family and how to help the family out and helping the family in reunification once the child is located.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a team called Team Hope that does the same thing that will help the family out even long term once a child's been returned.
Interesting.
It's amazing.
You guys also have a thing. Take it down.
So what has happened is with the proliferation of cell phones and social media, a lot of children have posted pictures that are inappropriate on the internet. And we now have a system in place that we can pull those down from all sources.
Mm.
It takes cooperation by the child and by the child's parents. But it's a great program, and we're having some really good results in it. Because what children don't realize is once you post it, it's there forever.
Yeah,
there
forever. Right.
Yeah.
So maybe you're 25 or you're 30 and you're trying to get a job. I think we spoke about this on the phone the other day. And you have somebody who's a grown-up now, you know, living life as a grown-up. And suddenly pictures appear from prior to 18.
Mm-hmm.
If it's prior to 18, regardless of the age currently, you guys will help them
contact
take it down.
Contact us. We'll help you take it down, yes.
That's fantastic. And
it's a great program. It took years in the making to get it developed to the point where now it's user-friendly. And so our team in Arlington, Virginia can just knock that thing out real fast. And
no kidding.
Basically, we call them, those of us in the field call them the zappers. They'll zap it and kill it, and then it's gone.
No fooling.
Yeah.
So somebody is struggling with that. That is not something they, I mean, because you can't make, good Lord, I mean, I deal with campaign headquarters issues, right, locally. Mm-hmm. And so we're we're like vagabonds, right? So every election season you pick a new spot. Oh, my God. There's always all these phone calls like, why aren't you guys on the corner of Hartnell and whatever? And it's like that was like 5 years ago. But you can't get it out of the internet. You can't get it out of there once it's been Googled and whatever. So I can only imagine some photo out there. For heaven's sakes, you could chase that forever.
That's true.
And get nowhere.
And our challenge is hard drives. Honestly, once somebody downloads it, they can repost it. So it's a good first step. They are constantly researching other ways to help out these poor victims
to block it
on this kind of thing. Yeah.
And so the address that I have here is takeitdown.ncmec, so necmec.org.
Necmec.org. Yes.
But they can go to missingkids.org, and it's one of the.
It
one
is.
One of the features in there.
It's one of the features.
Take it down.
There's a great feature on there right now for your listeners on a story of a young man who was brought into sexual extortion world as a runaway. And it is a phenomenal story. So if your listeners get a chance, take a look at missingkids.org and read his story. It's the first story that pops up.
Oh, no kidding. And so give us the spoiler alert version.
I'm not going to.
Oh, come on.
Nice try, Eric.
You gotta go read it.
Come on, Eric. Give us the spoiler. Okay, so then, CSAM. That's what they talk about all the time on that show. The people that are basically outing the predators, child sexual abuse material. But you guys have a whole thing in here about reporting it and about, there's a long list of resources for kids that have been exposed to sexual material. And I didn't read the whole thing, but online, anywhere?
Online. Uh-huh. And so CSAM comes in two forms. It comes in the form of images and also comes in the form of recordings. Videos, and so we'll help if they're involved in something like that or unfortunately got forced into something like that, we'll help them to get that taken down.
I would imagine that's a busy place.
They are very busy.
So, best way for people to find you guys is missingkids.org and just go through all of the resources.
It is. It is.
And I would imagine people are kind of surprised that this is out there. Like, I had no idea. If I figured if you had pictures that you had put out there years ago and they came back at you, you're on your own. I mean, you could go to the police department, but they can't really do anything for you.
No, they can't.
Is it a crime? Is it a crime?
No. If it was voluntary, no.
No kidding. So, like, bad girlfriend experience?
If it's child porn, obviously,
then
yes.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem. So, your comment about not many people know about NCMEC. We are fortunate, unfortunate in California. We're fortunate in that California Department of Justice is such an aggressive organization when it comes to the identification of missing and unidentified persons. And so law enforcement traditionally goes to California DOJ for assistance on these types of cases. And then under the mutual aid pact that we have in California, other agencies will come and assist when it's necessary. Keep in mind, though, that, like I said, the average police department is 25 people or less.
Mm-hmm.
Most police departments here in California are more than that. So we have ample manpower most of the time on that type of stuff. So not many people hear about us and know about us. The investigators all know about us because we also teach in the classes that they attend, talk about our resources that we have available. So we're not that well known in California. We are very well known in the Midwest, very well known in the East Coast. In California, there are five of us in the entire state.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you said your organization is federally funded?
Yes.
Okay. And what are the limitations as far as your funding goes? What does that funding go towards? In other words, what can you spend it on?
Well, obviously, it goes towards salary of the employees. We've got several different divisions. We've got a case analyst, analysis division. We've got the research division, the facial recognition or facial reconstruction division, age progression. We've got case managers. So it's a staff. Yeah,
right.
And then, of course, we only get paid. Those of us in Team Adam, we only get paid if there's a deployment.
Right.
So. We're kind of it's kind of difficult to take a look at what our budget is versus what it should be and what it really is.
Sure.
Because we may have five jump off cases in a week where we've deployed five Team Adam people to each case, or we may have a land search, a dump search that's taking 14 days that we have to have somebody at along with local law enforcement. So.
Totally depends on the case.
It totally depends on the case. It totally depends on the information. It totally depends on how far law enforcement wants to go with the resources that we can provide.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, I'm curious about partnerships outside the country that you guys have.
Like, okay.
That was one thing that was kind of an eye-opener in Sound of Freedom. You looked at that, and it's like, wow, there's a pretty good network out there. So
there is.
I'm imagining you guys tap into that as well. Our discussion today is on missing and exploited children. You can find all their information at missingkids.org. And if you forget that, you can always find us and the archive of the show, too, after the fact. Share it with other folks at wethepeopleradio.us.
What you gonna do when Chevy John Brown come for you?
That song too.
I know.
It was kind of like great for you guys.
Who is it? Kelly Clarkson. No.
No, McBride.
Martina
McBride.
Yep.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was kind of the whole. The whole story whole song was like your whole deal.
Oh wow.
It was your whole thing.
What,
so okay, forget the out of the country thing. We'll do that if we have time.
Okay.
I forgot about the spatial thing. Because I don't know anything about it.
Ah, okay.
It was easy for me to forget.
Well,
but it was interesting.
Bill alluded to it at the beginning, and one of the things that we're able to do, Team Adam members, is we're able to look at some of these abductions or suspected abductions or runaway exploited children situations, and look at it from a spatial crime position. And really, what that is just to identify what favorable factors existed for that crime to occur. And in looking at that, when you think about something very simplistic, here's an example. My wife and I recently went to a grocery store, and we got out of the car, and as we did, a man was pulling up next to us in a pickup truck, and in the back he had landscape equipment. Hard working man. You could look at him and tell he had the heat, everything else. He was done
sure.
for the day. And as we're leaving, another truck pulls up and two guys jump out and grab his weed eater and throw it in the back of their truck and they take off.
Nice.
Okay, so why did that crime occur? And so one of the things we offer to law enforcers will come in and take a look at the case that they're working and say, okay, from a spatial situation, why did that situation occur? Well, it occurred because of a formula. And the formula is we had a likely offender in the area. One. Two, there's a suitable target. Three, there's no capable guardian in place. There's nobody watching that child or that situation. And so then we wind up with a crime of opportunity. And so the average person I talk to says, oh my God, we have, of all the children missing, we have 92% of those were kidnapped or abducted, and that's not true. It's less than 1% of all the children that go missing.
Oh, wow.
But that 1% is too many.
Well, sure.
Out of that 1%, is that a crime of opportunity, or is it something that was pre-planned?
That's where the discussions take place at the investigative phase. So that's one of the jobs of the investigators, to sit down and say, okay, what's our hypothesis here? Is this a crime of opportunity, or is this a planned event? Either way, where was the capable guardian? Mm-hmm. You know, why didn't we have a measure, a someone, a fence, a gate, a person, a parent? You know, why weren't they involved, or were they involved? And so it works into this huge matrix that has to be considered and worked through from beginning to end before you know where your investigation is really going to go. And so one of the things that we offer, one of the services that we offer, is a sit-down conversation with those investigators, especially on those old cases, and let's draw this thing out, and let's take a good look at this and see what's going on. And I can give you an example if you'd like.
Yeah.
Of that. Okay. So,
I love examples.
2 weeks ago, I was down in the Central Valley area on an old case where a 16-year-old female went missing. She went missing because she and her boyfriend, who was 24 at the time and a convicted pimp, had a fight at a party at a house, and she was going to walk to a friend's home. Now, those facts by themselves are bad enough, but if there's any thought process to make those facts benign, you have to understand that the friend's house was 24 miles away.
Oh.
So your brain starts going, wait a minute, time out. She's going to walk 24 miles because she and her boyfriend got into a fight. And as we're going through this investigation, we realize that her boyfriend's brother had made some comments during the investigation that were completely off track and provable wrong. And then we found a third party during that initial investigation that was so concerned about being a part of the investigation that was way out of track and way out of whack.
Oh, no.
And so then we wind up with a situation of, okay, do we have a likely offender? Yeah. Do we have a suitable target? Yes. Does he have the motive, opportunity, and means? Yes. Where is she? She hasn't got a driver's license. She hasn't worked any place. She doesn't exist, according to anything. So where is she? Mm-hmm. And so once we worked through that whole process with the investigative team, they came up with the idea we need to go back to the point where she was seen and check that place.
Oh.
It had been checked before, but check using new technology. So that's what I was referring to when we're talking about spatial relationships. That offender, victim, and the absence of a guardian.
Put all those pieces perfect together, and somewhere in that zone,
yeah,
is the answer.
Yes.
Which really makes you think about, I mean, when we were kids, walking down the sidewalk, walking a mile to a friend's house or whatever, it was no big deal. But in today's world, somebody underage walking down the sidewalk alone could get snatched off the street so easily. And why do you think it's more prevalent now, or is it more prevalent now?
I don't know. I know we're reporting on it
right,
a lot. We're certainly taking it very serious from a criminal justice standpoint, that's for sure. I don't know if it's gotten worse or not. I do know that it ruins lives immediately.
You would think in an era where we have so many cameras and there's so much technology to watch where everyone is moving, you would think that would be incredibly risky.
It is. It is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do they get caught with technology?
They do.
We
just did.
Really?
We just did.
Yeah. I think that Ring doorbell cameras, all that stuff.
We just did in Shasta County.
Oh, really?
A unknown person had a nickname, but we couldn't, through my resources, we couldn't find out who he was. We had a picture of him. We couldn't find out who he was through the picture. He was preying on foster children. And we still couldn't find out who he was.
Wow.
How did he know they were foster children?
He contacted him through social media.
Oh, the old social media thing. Okay.
And we finally, and this is with an investigative team here in Shasta County, which was amazing, we finally get another victim who identifies him by his vehicle. And law enforcement did a deep dive, because when somebody says to you, it's a dark-colored car, and I think it's this or I think it's that, That's a bad search. That's going to be tough.
A lot of,
yeah, sure. Yeah,
a lot of ground.
These investigators did a deep dive, identified a vehicle that they thought might be it, started looking at this particular person, doesn't live in Shasta County, has no business in Shasta County, has no relationships in Shasta County, and yet we have him in Shasta County on the nights of the events.
Oh.
Caught on license plate readers.
Yeah.
So when he, when his world got shook a couple of weeks ago, when they showed up at his work and grabbed him.
Where did he work? Far away?
In West Sacramento.
Okay, so a couple hours.
Yeah. So technology's helped us a lot.
We have license plate readers in Reading area?
Yes.
Really?
Also, we have all
was he offending and only like Shasta County, or was he offending in other counties and cities? Or just Redding, and why Redding, if you can talk about that?
I think it was just Shasta County.
Weird.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Well, and any tie to this county? Like, why would he have come up here?
There was a tie about 20, 30 years ago at one point.
No kidding.
But nothing else.
Well, another thing with these offenders is, what do they say? For every one time they get caught, they've offended 100 times and not get caught?
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
So back to your comment about the technology. It's estimated that 300 times a day you're caught on some type of video surveillance, ring surveillance.
Wow.
Someone's private video camera.
Right?
Yeah. And so as soon as they have an incident like this, one of the very first things I should mention to you about the CART team.
Child abduction
response team.
Yeah.
In Northern California, we have a CART team, which is amazing. They are a certified CART team made up of California Highway Patrol, FBI, Red Bluff PD, Anderson PD, Redding PD, Shasta County Sheriff's Department. They are phenomenal. But they will send a group out to do nothing but locate those types of devices that could have picked up this information.
Mm.
And so the amount of information that's provided is just absolutely amazing that they can get. And it comes from sources that you wouldn't even expect.
Yeah. Yeah, because there are a lot of cameras, but you've got to go look for them.
You do, and I was recently down in Ripon, which is down by the Modesto area, and they have a city ordinance that if you're coming into Ripon to establish a business and you're going to have a security system, that the police department have access to your hard drive.
Oh.
And so they're getting information very, very quickly.
So they don't have to wait and blah, 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 do all the
search warrants. You know, if somebody's not willing to provide the information, you have to write a search warrant and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of interesting. People are really getting on board with this. And then, of course, you've seen everything with the Ring doorbells. It's amazing.
Yeah.
What that.
Well, you saw
producing.
The white car. You know, I mean, we've all seen the programs, right, where, you know, the white car went by, then all of a sudden the white car was picked up. So it could have gone right or left. Well, so you go to the next camera, right or left. So which way did they go, and what time was it? And
Think about this. Your car may have recorded people standing next to your car.
Oh.
Really?
My car, if somebody touches my car, it starts rolling video. Just recently they asked, I can't remember where it was, I think it was Portland, Oregon. I don't know where it was. They asked everybody with a Tesla who had driven by a particular intersection during this time period to contact the police department because their car probably captured.
Because their car takes video while they're driving?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Like by itself?
It was
a
particular model.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that had... Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Kind of creepy.
It is.
And you know what?
Helpful,
it wasn't Portland. It was Bend, Oregon. It was Bend, Oregon, where a lady was killed and her car was dumped in Klamath Falls. And so Bend, Oregon investigators were asking anybody with a Tesla in that area.
No kidding.
It's like that a something? Rolling surveillance.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah. And it's all done not for that purpose. It's all done for the comfort of the driver.
Right.
But we're seeing more and more things like that that are just amazing.
A lot of dash cams. A lot of people are running dash cams.
Yes.
You know, criminals have always been dumb, you know, in a lot of cases. They get away with a lot.
Thank you.
But you know, every now and then you watch stuff and you think, oh, for heaven's sakes. You know what I mean? Like, you walk into a mini mart and you're going to hold them up and you're thinking, really?
And you're looking at the camera.
You're looking right at the camera.
Yeah.
Like, how dumb are you? But now, that you couldn't even really keep yourself out of video footage.
That's true. You can't.
Mm-mm.
Have you seen the video of the man and the girl walking into the grocery store, and she looks up at the camera and she goes,
the hand sign.
Help me. That's being taught to children in
school. And they saved her.
Because it's their thumb is folded into their palm, and the four fingers are up, and then they fold the four fingers down like they're kind of waving.
Right.
But not really.
Right. It's basically a sign language type thing.
Yeah, what is it?
HM, help me.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. And so those types of things
since
are helping.
We're on radio, I'm like, I'm doing this. I just want everyone to know I'm doing this right in front of the microphone so you can see it.
So you can see it.
Like,
very helpful.
It was super helpful.
So I think one thing I want to make sure that the listening audience knows, in Northern California, we are prepared to handle these cases. In Northern California, we are fortunate. We have got some law enforcement managers, chiefs of police and captains and lieutenants that place this issue as number one issue on the plate. So I am impressed.
That's awesome to know. So let's say you live in wherever and you're thinking, I don't know if our guys are, you know, up to speed on that.
They are.
And so let's say they go and they ask and they go, well, we could use a lot more help. They can contact NCMEC maybe and get a little more assistance in putting their...
You're talking about the law enforcement organizations?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You live in kind of Nowheresville and you're thinking we need some help?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll tell them what services we can provide them.
That's kind of great.
And of course, you know, we have the one thing that most law enforcement administrators love to hear is at no cost.
I was going
to
say free. Yeah. We're going to have a guy on here in the next few weeks from Department of Homeland Security who's with CISA. Cyber, what do you gonna call it, blah, blah, blah.
Security, yes.
And they actually consult for free with private businesses, church groups, anybody for on-site physical security. And also cyber, just pretty interesting. And I didn't know they were doing that.
That's great.
So we'll be promoting that here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So I guess we have to go because Liam's flashing the light at us. Holy cow. I told you we could burn 2 hours. No sweat. Our guest has been Paul Skinner with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And we thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Thank you. We got minds to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free.
Good.